Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the publisher of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today's episode is possible thanks to the generous sponsorship of Analytics Solutions, which provides a wide range of revenue cycle management services and solutions to DME businesses across the industry. You can learn more about them at www.analytics, that's analytix.com. Again, that's analytics with an X.com. Today, we're talking about the security aspects of revenue cycle management. And to talk about the topic is a newcomer to the HMEB podcast, and that's Anita Mimani. She's the Director of Healthcare Solutions for Analytics Solutions. Anita, great to have you on the podcast.
I am very honored to be here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So let's start off with a question to give everybody in the audience a bit of a baseline. Why are HME providers starting to outsource their revenue cycle management or parts of their revenue cycle management?
So our experience in the field, and then also what is some research on healthcare and on the industry, is that it has a few pros and a few cons, but the primary pros to outsourcing are related to cost savings and increased revenue. You have access to specialized resources and expertise. So you have a team that is dedicated to you and does the medical billing and RCM task that you assign it religiously for you, getting better and better as they do it. It minimizes administrative tasks and burdens for internal staff, or as we call them, patient-facing staff. It helps improve cash flow and provide structurally better reporting, and it gives you access to probably to technology and applications that you as a solitary DME provider, maybe you don't have the resources and the capital to go and seek it independently.
And I would imagine that when you've got, you know, dedicated teams where they're focused on this, the skill level and the knowledge level of the team that's at a provider's disposal is going to just have, you know, compounded expertise when it comes to revenue cycle management.
Exactly. Because everybody says that you in DME, HME, especially in small to medium size providers or providers that have different offices, you might have to wear many hats. And unfortunately, when you're trying to do many tasks, some things fall through the cracks. So when it comes to medical billing and RCM, the devil is in the details. Whether you get paid is in that modifier order, or whether you're not even using the modifier, to making sure that every supporting documentation has the correct diagnosis for what it is that you're doing. So in the small details that needs center focus. So if you have a dedicated and specialized person that all they're doing is concentrating on RCM tasks, they end up, as they're working more and more in your task, they become experts at that task. They become faster, quicker. They're able to catch mistakes before they even get submitted to insurance company. So making those denials smaller, allowing you to now have a quicker payment cycle for your orders, right? Catching errors earlier, fixing them earlier, because they're all dedicated to that. And then it allows you to then getting more predictable revenue streams. And you know that my collections is going to be this because I have this team that is dedicated. It's always going to be at this percentage. I'm always going to be getting a check from the primary insurance that I am dealing with at exactly this time. It's going to be around this amount. So it has to do a lot with those, an expert resource that is trained and continues to be trained on the job. And then that is kind of monitored through SOPs and other kind of training manuals within the team.
Dependable and predictable income. What are they going to think of next?
So I know in the DME and HME space, it's always income and collections is the one thing that is a big, big question. So if you
the last thing that should be an unknown.
Yes, exactly. We know that with regulation, with changes in fee schedules and you know, managed care providers, insurances, all of these things, there's going to be some fluctuations. There's going to be some tightness in those collections and in those fee schedules. So at least what we can do is to try to manage what is within our control, right? And having a team that all they're doing is focusing on that gives you a sense of calmness and peace, right? So, and it's also, it's a cost-effective team because it's outsourced. You're not providing for benefits, for the network, for the hardware and software, all of these things. You're not worrying about training them because they come trained to you. And even if a resource is replaced, they are replaced and trained, and then you don't have that cost of training. And then the minimizing cost burden. So it allows the internal staff to be focused on their core jobs or core responsibilities, which is relationships with the patients, relationships with referring doctors, and then hopefully growing the business.
Well, you rattled off a really succinct list of some benefits there, why a business might want to outsource their RCM. But there's an additional reason that you and I discussed, developing this this podcast, and that's security. What are the challenges that, you know, HME/DME providers are facing when it comes to keeping their billing secure? Maybe you could talk a little bit about the threats facing those providers.
Yes. So security, I believe, is an additional reason why providers might choose to outsource revenue cycle management, because as cybersecurity threats have become to the forefront, we are hearing more about malware, ransomware, and phishing attempts at trying to steal data, whether that is healthcare and personal health information data or even financial data. So what makes a DME or an HME provider a little bit more susceptible, or what can be points of weakness in trying to protect and safeguard this data are, it could be through data breaches. So they are a prime target for cyber criminals who seek to steal information, and it can cause a lot of business pain and loss of revenue for the DME. It needs to, a lot of these security networks, even Wi-Fi security, needs to follow compliance and regulation in order to make sure that it's meeting HIPAA compliance. It needs to have the infrastructure that supports safeguarding data and making sure that whatever data is there, it can be protected from accidentally sharing. So whether it is through telehealth or even resources that sometimes work from home, this PHI and HIPAA data is not as secure because it can be accessed by breaking the telehealth platform, or it can be accessed if a network or home network is not secure. So those are some concerns.
Are there others that have, kind of come to light as the years have gone past? I know that ransomware, has the spread of ransomware has, come to post-acute care, and that includes HME providers. Is that a really large threat these days?
Yes, it's a huge threat. Along with phishing emails and malware, they are at the forefront because they know how important safeguarding this data is. They know that it can jeopardize even an increased liability when it comes to the provider. So it can jeopardize your licensure. You're not meeting compliance. It can threaten the whatever relationships you have with both patients and insurance companies. So it ends up being a very costly mistake, in a sense, if there is a cyber breach or data breach through ransomware, then now it's holding this information hostage for you and will only release it if you pay them a certain amount of money. And usually a DME and HME doesn't have that, capital to invest in such a robust and strength in network security, protection of data integrity, and even regular workers, if they're working from home, from work from home. Maybe they send the wrong email to the wrong person. Maybe they click on the wrong link because it, when it comes through, it looks like it belongs within your company, but you don't know, and you click it, and now you're exposed, maybe even your system and whatever is in your system to the wrong people. So yeah, it's a huge concern.
Yeah, and I would imagine that there's a huge exposure there. Just because, you know, like you mentioned, you know, that an HME business might not have the resources to safeguard against those things. And they may not even have the financial wherewithal to pay the ransom. You know, I imagine it's going to be a really weird position, you know, where you are dealing with patient healthcare information that is on the same volume of, like, say, a local hospital or something like that. But at the same time, you don't have nearly the resources that a hospital would. That's just got to be unnerving, to say the least.
Exactly. And also infrastructure, right? So in order to have firewalls, intrusion detection systems, encryption tools, just building infrastructure that is impenetrable to any attack, it costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of investment in the front end. And oftentimes, because that's not their expertise, their expertise is in concentrating on patient care. Their expertise is providing care and creating, becoming part of the network of support and health. And from an aging population to a young population, they are there to provide a service that is more on the giving and patient facing, rather than am I now protected from this new wave of attacks or this new approach as trying to steal data or breach data? And it's not necessarily, not that they are doing anything wrong, but it is a full-time job in a sense.
And so, of course, you know, it's also a full-time job for analytics because you are offering, you know, outsourced RCM. How can outsourcing RCM improve the security situation for HME providers?
So I have kind of structured the approach in kind of bullet points. So you are having access to a specialized experts. So the way that at Analytics Healthcare Solutions, we started as a solutions provider in business in the financial sector. And then we needed to build a very strong infrastructure that concentrated on protecting data. So the base is as a technology and infrastructure technology that has state-of-the-art firewalls, intrusion detection systems, encryption tools, that protects against cyber attacks and data breaches. We are following compliance and regulations for HIPAA, ISO, and PSI, DSS. So meaning anything that has to do with personal health information as well as personal financial information. So we have to follow those laws and compliance and certifications. The way that we are structured at Analytics is that we have separated security or data security in two categories. Physical security, which takes care of the team, right? The medical billers, the RCM team that is doing the work. So in the US, they would either be, if they're working at the office, they would be at the office. But most people are either fully remote or hybrid in the US. So their security is at their work office. At Analytics, none of our team works from home. They have to enter into our offices, and it's called the HIPAA floor. In order to get access to the floor, they have a biometric login, meaning with their thumbprint. They also have an ID card. The user identity is protected in a multi-factor authentication. So when they log in, they need to log in with a password as well as another, either, like I said, biometric or the card. They're not allowed to enter the facility if they're not HIPAA compliant. So if they don't work on that floor, nobody's allowed on that floor. Users are not allowed to print. They're not allowed to bring their own, their cell phones in their workstation. It's locked in a cupboard before you enter. And then they are under 24/7 video surveillance. They have to pass monthly OIG checks. So that's the Office of Inspector General under the Health and Human Services. So they have to make sure that they're eligible to work with PHI data. And then the facility has two separate ISPSs. So a firewall and network for healthcare is separate from any other process within the company. There's a power backup. So physical security falls under those steps that we're doing to make sure that we are HIPAA compliant. And now we go to the infrastructure security, and I have a huge list that our IT team provided. So the workstation devices are on thin client operating systems, meaning there is no internal storage, no sensitive data can be stored, saved, or replicated. Workstation is protected with managed EDR solutions, so endpoint detection and response. All workstations are in the cloud, and the data never leaves the United States. So if any data needs to be saved for any reason, like let's say it's reporting, it's saved in the server in the US. The data that is stored is encrypted at rest, meaning that it is transformed into an unreadable format using an encryption algorithm. It makes it difficult or impossible for someone to access without proper decryption key or the password. We have geofencing enabled, automated patch management for workstation. We have single sign-on. Single sign-on means if they have to attend a Zoom meeting, a training, there is an update on internal operations for the DME. When they log in into the Zoom account, it's under the company account, so it's not their own. So that they cannot replicate, they cannot record or do anything with that meeting outside of the company account. So the company has access to that. It's restricted internet access with logging enabled, restricted email communication. They can only communicate through email to the client that they are serving. We have a password management system. It's called LastPass. So none of the users know the password to enter it, let's say, into a billing software or an insurance portal. That password is initially taken in by us. It's saved in LastPass. And all they have to do is they log into their LastPass account, and then they click that I need to log in into this portal. And that LastPass account manages the password for that portal. So the user never has access to it. They can't access it outside of the workstation. And then the last thing is called Trusted Platform Module, TPM 2.0. It's required to run Windows 11. It's important building block for security-related features. So this is the huge list I got from the IT department. I hope I did it justice and presented it in the best way possible.
Well, it's fascinating because it sounds very similar to what we were talking about at the top of the questions, which was that there's an advantage of scale here. That when you are focused on this singular task, this singular aspect of the HME business, you're able to build in, a lot more infrastructure around it than I think your typical HME provider would.
Exactly. And make sure that you are up to date with whatever new threats there are out there that maybe are on the coming or not. So all of us went through two horrible, or maybe some of us maybe still are going through it, two horrible years of a pandemic or of COVID, that there needed to be a change immediately to allow for people to work remotely or to have access to a technology infrastructure and system that allows them to log in and do their work. Because our IT team had built like a business continuation plan to service providers, because healthcare providers are, providers that always have to stay on, they always have to work, they always have to be, they can never close their doors. We right. built a business continuation plan that supported that, while also taking into consideration that the best way you support healthcare providers is to make sure that there is no liability, the core thing that is their livelihood is not jeopardized in any way. So there is a lot of focus and investment into building infrastructure and technology kind of service that makes all of that possible. So through thin client, it's a very portable and usable and accessible thing that you give to one user, and they're logging into kind of a system that is on the cloud. They cannot email, they cannot save, duplicate, because all of that has very limited kind of and structured limits of where it is you can go and what it is you can do. So it's very predictable. Whatever we can control, IT has made sure that they have controlled and they're not allowing for anything to kind of penetrate it and cause any damage.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. And it's, you know, I think that it's got to be an answer to the question that I think keeps a lot of providers, you know, up in the middle of the night. If a provider is interested in taking advantage of the kind of security capabilities that outsourced RCM offers, how do they get started? You know, in other words, do you have kind of an on-ramping program? Do you suggest, maybe you do this workflow and then add another? Or, you know, what's the kind of approach that you recommend?
So first and foremost, I would say make sure that you're choosing a partner in our, not a vendor. So what I mean by that is, if you're going out there to getting an outsourcing vendor that you were saying, I want you to just do this task or that task in RCM, I think the relationship is very much like, I'm giving you this, you're going to give me this back. But if you are looking for a partner, you're looking for somebody that is invested in your success, because your success also means my success. So first and foremost, I would say look for a partner that has experience in the industry. Check for their references and reviews, ask about their security protocols, make sure they have a good track record of meeting deadlines, delivering quality work, and then consider their pricing structure. If you do all of that and then you say, I think analytics is a good fit for me, the way that it is structured for us is that the onboarding, we do it in a very scalable and structured way. For every task that we take over, we are not coming, although we have the expertise and we've been and doing this for, over a decade now, we want to make sure that we are the best partner for you. So as we start, we want to replicate what it is that you currently are doing internally in operations. What's the workflow? What is the process that you have? We want to replicate it and do it as good as you do it. And so we build SOPs around that workflow and that process. And then if we find, based on our experience with other clients, that this step is unnecessary or this process is too long, we come back and suggest changes to improve the efficiency in the workflow. And it's a partnership. You have to, if you think that is a good fit for the your business and your process and the way what it is that you're doing, you're going to implement it and take it on and then update the SOP for the workflow. If you think, I like the way I'm doing it, there is a reason, I like the extra steps, obviously we are there to provide the service for you. So we are your partner through and through. So that's the one thing that I wanted to kind of highlight. And then as the tasks grow and the confidence grows for everything that we're doing, everything that we're touching, there's reporting, there's data analytics, there's dashboards. So there's a lot of accountability and working and communications between our point of contact at the DME and then their team, the RCM team that works for that DME.
All right. And if HME providers want to find out more about analytics, where should they go online?
So in analytics, as you said, analytics.com in the beginning, online, there are many kind of divisions we have. We call them divisions. So there is accounting. So if you're looking for accounting services, it's there. Medical billing and RCM services are under healthcare. So it's also there. If you're looking to get some data analytics and, data reporting, we have that as an offering as well. If you want to see whether or not your business is following the compliance for HIPAA, if you want to kind of stress test the technology structure you currently have, we have an IT team that's dedicated. We have it in-house. They can help and provide that support to you as well. So all of the breakdown and kind of the resources that we and services we provide are on the website. And if you want to reach out to any of us, you can either do it through the website or by sending an email to sales@analytics.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Anita.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I hope I am a returning guest on the show. And if anybody has any additional questions, feel free to reach out for anything to us.
Thanks again to Anita Mimani of Analytics Solutions for being on the podcast. And thanks again to Analytics for the generous support and fascinating topic of discussion. Again, if you want to find out more, visit www.analytics.com. Again, that's spelled A-N-A-L-Y-T-I-X. That's analytics.com. Now, before I sign off, if you like today's episode, please take a quick second to rate and review this episode. Doing that helps the HMEB podcast reach more HME professionals just like you. Also, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com. And subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me. You can hit me up on email at D as in David, K-O, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics, such as revenue cycle management and security. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.